I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. Today, I'm delighted to be talking again to Corin Woodmus, who is an expert in selling and indeed buying FBA businesses from thefbabroker.com. And we've been talking about how to make your business worth buying in the first place. So let's talk about the buyers. Who's actually buying this stuff, Corin? Who are these people and why are they buying Amazon businesses as opposed to stocks and shares, bonds, whatever else they could be investing in?
Sure. So to keep it fairly broad, I like to break this down into under a million and over a million. So let's talk in between the 100,000 and a million range. This is the bulk of the market right now. In fact, the 1 to 500,000 range is the bulk of the market and also the bulk of the buyers. So let's talk about those type of buyers first, and then we'll talk a plus 1 million after. So these type of buyers, predominantly, I would say at least 70, if not 75% of the buyer pool right now in this price range are 100% new to Amazon, and most of them are new to e-commerce as a whole, which sounds insane if you think about it. Why would you go buy an Amazon business if you're very new to it? The attraction to FBA businesses is the same thing that got us all into it in the first place. It's very easy to run. The return on capital for inventory is really good. So as a secondary investment, it's getting access to that capital return just on inventory itself can be quite appealing in some cases, or in most cases. So these type of buyers, for the most part, are executives. They're high paid, high six figure, mid six figure kind of executives. They have a lot of savings and they're looking to either quit their job and start something with less time and enjoy life, basically, like live the dream like everyone wants to. The other portion are just looking at this as an investment. And these are the biggest buyer pool, which is why all the stuff we talk about preparing a business for sale is to attract this type of buyer. They're more of an investor. They have less time to actually manage that investment. They're just looking for a better return than, like you were saying, than on stocks or bonds or something like that. And they kind of like something that has the potential to get a higher return than it appears on paper as well. So if something's trending up, or there's newer products that have just been launched, or there's maybe some upside coming in the market, that's interesting. It gets people kind of like, oh, I'm getting a deal. I'll get my return on investment faster than projected, or by the multiple, right? So that's the main driver. There are a couple of very small percentage of that market are strategic buyers. And for the most part at this level, the strategic buyers are few and far between, which is why you really want to position your business to appeal to a very wide investor-focused audience. And I'm not sure if I told this story last time. I may have. But position your business as if, and prepare for the handover as if you're selling this to your grandmother, because she may be the buyer.
I like it. So very interesting that you put your finger on the exact type of person, because a high-paid executive, what that says to me, I mean, I happen to know a couple of them. They're not really like personal friends, but I tend to hang with entrepreneurs or musicians, but not that much else. But they are going to have a very corporate mindset, I guess. So they're going to want very, very clean books. They're going to be probably a bit risk averse. These are the sort of instinctive responses as soon as you say high paid executive. Would that be true to your experience?
Yeah, for the most part, it depends how far along the cycle they are. So if they've just started looking at FBA businesses, 100%, that's what they'll be looking for. So the history on the business itself, the solid, clean books, like you were saying, that will appeal to the widest audience possible. As buyers go along the line of understanding what an FBA business is, that tends to loosen up a little bit. And again, it depends on the buyer, and you will filter down a little bit. But for the most part, the more research they've done into the industry, the more loose they'll be with their criteria and not wanting a five-year-old business, let's say. They'll understand that maybe a 2 or 3 year business is a decent age business in the FBA private label space.
Okay, that's interesting. So, I mean, they're willing to get invested in learning about the area then, basically. Then they're going to be less nervous. All right. So there is hope for those of us who don't have a sort of 5-year-old business with perfect books then, potentially.
Yes. And no? And part of absolutely. And part of that actually, which is interesting, is the sheer amount of listings that are out there. So typically a buyer, once they zero in on FBA businesses, they'll go out to the market in their price range. And I was looking for a buyer the 2 weeks ago, and I pulled this up on my list while I was talking to her. Her budget's between $200,000 and $400,000. And in that price range 2 weeks ago, active listings, there was 55 listings that she could choose from. Right. So that's a huge portion of that 219 are within that very small bracket right there. So once they start seeing a couple of these businesses, start talking to the brokers, maybe have some calls with the sellers, see the P&Ls, that type of thing, they'll start to see the trends and what makes a good business and what doesn't make a good business. And they'll get educated very quickly. They typically don't buy very fast if they're a very new buyer. So there's a lot of education that needs to come into play for them to feel comfortable to move forward.
Makes sense. I mean, you kind of, again, expect somebody to do that unless they're a kind of crazy driven entrepreneurial type, in which case they'd probably be setting their own business up, right? So yeah, that makes sense. So tell us a little bit more about the presumably much smaller area of the businesses that are selling the $1 to $5 million range.
Sure. So $1 to $5 million range, in the middle of that chunk, there's a bit of a black hole. So there's less buyers that have personal buyers that have over $1 million to spend. They are out there, but as far as free cash flow to cash in the bank to buy a business, there's just less buyers. In that range, you'll see more strategic buyers. And for the most part, it's strategic at some point at this level. So maybe they have a lot of experience in Amazon FBA type marketing and growing brands and things. Maybe they're looking to consolidate some brands and sell them on to an equity fund of some sort down the track. That's quite popular. The other type is at the top end of that $1 to $5 million, you start to get small private equity funds that are also buying at that range. And over $5 million and over $10 million are definitely the playground of private equity funds. So you need quite a bit of capital to be interested at that level. I actually have a buyer I'm working with that is working in the private equity space. He was on the team that vetted and did all the due diligence for one of the largest FBA transactions that happened last year. And he told me that the multiple was high single figures. He couldn't tell me too many details. Trust me, I asked. but he said it was high single digits. So, you know, when we're talking about 2 and 3x multiples before, if you can get your business to be much larger, and this was a multi-million dollar deal, obviously the multiples can get quite interesting at that point. So, yeah, in that 1 to 5 million, you're really looking at either strategic buyers with their own company, you're looking at a couple of investors getting together or a operator that's raised capital that is looking to buy a couple of these businesses. That's probably the bulk of the market that I've been talking to in that 1 to 5 million range. So they're very sophisticated buyers. You won't get past them if you're, you know, doing some dodgy stuff on the side, because they probably taught you how to do it or someone they know. So yeah, you've got to be very upfront, and we coach all of our sellers to be very upfront with what they're doing, and the good and the bad of what's happened with their business goes a really long way in helping you stand out. But that's the type of buyer we're seeing in that 1 to 5 million range.
Interesting. So what really strikes me about this is that the prizes are disproportionately bigger at the higher end of the scale, because obviously, if you're selling a business for $1 million, then, you know, you're going to be selling something that's doing a lot more turnover and has bigger free cash flow. Yes. But yes, what you're saying is the multiples are higher as well at that end.
Yes, because it's rare. It's really hard to build a business to be a plus $1 million in free cash flow. So I'll give you an example, a really good example now. A friend of mine and a potential client, there's two businesses, FBA, they have multi-channel income sources, big off Amazon presence. So essentially the same business or similar business, similar niche. They both have 14 products with variations. One of them, his business is probably worth about $1 to $1.5 million. The other one, and they're the same age, mind you, the other one is worth, I valued it around $7 to $7.5 million. It's essentially the same business. One just got into a much higher volume niche at the same time. it's ridiculous. So the reason the multiple on that $7.5 million deal will be higher is because it's just really hard to find deals like that. And it's almost impossible to pick that going in. You can't pick a business that'll be that big many times over. You might be able to do it once. Doing it two or three times is next to impossible.
Right. So in a sense, your friend, although obviously a successful business person, in the sense he's got two decent-sized FBA businesses, well, say decent-sized, one exceptional-sized, but the level of success is hard to predict. Is
that exactly.
Right. Okay.
Exactly.
So, and rarity commands a price, even if it comes down to the fact that an FBA business doing $5 to $10 million in free cash flow is rare, that still commands a premium because it's rare. Simple as that.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it's funny how the laws of supply and demand are really pretty ironclad. I mean, a lot of economics turns out when you apply it to real life to be pretty dodgy, but the supply and demand are always just... What amazes me, given how bad everything else in economics is, at predicting reality, that how solid that is. You know, so people just sometimes get confused about that. And I think that comes down to the whole thing of differentiating your product. And look, I say to some coaching clients that I work with sometimes, like, if your product looks exactly the same as everything else, it doesn't really matter if your photography is beautiful and you write the most wonderful copy in the world. If it's the same, it's going to be shopped on price and it's going to be pretty low price. So very interesting. Right. Tell us a little bit more about the mechanics of the sale process. Now, I'm not sure that many of my listeners are going to be in a position where they're actually selling right now, but we ought to know a little bit about how that process works.
Sure. So I'll give you basically the overview, and then I'll speak as we go a little bit more detail, not too much, on how we do it. So every broker that I've seen does it a little bit different, but I'll explain basically the process and how we do it. So you can look at this from almost a broad perspective. So it's a discovery process. So you've got a buyer that's looking for a business. So like we were saying before, it's going to take a while for someone to figure out exactly what type of business they want. They'll see a few, then they'll say, hey, I like supplements, or I don't like supplements, for instance. And then they'll zero in on that type of business. So a lot of the times you'll get a very high funnel at the top of people just inquiring and wanting information about the business. And most brokers, not all of them, but most brokers don't reveal your brand, your products, links to anything at that top of funnel. And personally, I think that's really important. I'll go through some stats on a recent sale, which will make this make more sense in a second. The second step is once they put their hand up and they want some information about the business, this is where you can start engaging with the potential buyer. So typically, there'll be some sort of call process. The buyer will want to meet you. So there may be a buyer-seller call or questions that are coming back and forward. And at this stage of the game, it's really important to be super responsive and super upfront about anything related to your business. So this is your opportunity to introduce your business and yourself, because the buyer's also buying you as part of the deal, right? You need to give them some handover and training, and they need to trust not only that your business is doing what it says, and there's ways to verify all this, of course, but they need to trust you enough to know that after the sale, you're not just going to disappear. So the first step is filtering down those buyers. Second step is starting that conversation, and your broker will help you with that. The next step is actually getting to the offer stage. This is the fun part. We can start negotiating a little bit. The next step is either a deposit or LOIs, depending on your process, where the buyer actually signs something, says, yes, here's my offer, and I'll put a deposit down to vet this business and do my due diligence. Now, if everything checks out, and you know, here at the FBA Broker, we put a ton of time into vetting businesses up front and making sure everything checks out and all the information is ready to go. In this exact scenario, as soon as that deposit clears, we can send a folder with all that information. The buyer can go through and verify everything, right? That's super important. The next step is typically a purchase agreement, where it will step out everything the terms of the deal, but also the handover. We use this as a checklist to make sure that the business is actually done and handed over before the deal is complete. And that could include any sort of earn-out, holdback, seller financing. However the deal is structured will be in that contract.
Right. So it's quite a lengthy and involved process. What sort of length of time would it take to go from, say, me going to you and say, okay, I want to sell my FBA business, to actually selling it and walking away with the money? And I know that's how long is a piece of string question.
Sure. So I'll give you a couple of examples. So typically what I'm seeing right now in the 1 to 500,000 range, let's talk about that. That's the bulk of the market, probably the bulk of the audience. In that range, I'm seeing almost as much work and time up front before we list the business. Could be a month or two before actually listing and starting the sale process. It's all about getting all of your numbers together, putting your P&L together in a way that buyers like to see it, and having all your supporting documentation ready to go and checked before you list the business. So you've got to put in a lot of time there before you even list the business, right? The next step is the actual sale process. And a recent deal I've worked on that's just gone under LOI and we've received the deposit right now, that started 6 weeks ago. Okay, we listed that 7 weeks ago now. So this is where the numbers will make sense, talking about that funnel. At the top of the funnel, we use an NDA process. So someone needs to sign an NDA before they'll see a redacted version of the P&L. So it doesn't have brands or products, it'll have product ABC, and they'll see the trends of the business and the costs and all that sort of stuff. So once the buyer sees that redacted P&L, that's the beginning. So on this business, we had 36 NDAs signed. And from that, we had 9 buyer-seller calls with the buyer and the seller on the same call, at least the first call, at least one call rather. And from that, we had 6 offers and we took one of those offers after 7 weeks. So there was a lot of activity, a lot of calls, a lot of emails back and forth, a lot of follow-up to get to that point. And the point we're at right now, which is actually the second time we've been at that point with this particular business, is we've got the LOI and we've got the deposit paid. So that's in escrow. The buyer's now vetting the business. They've actually chosen to use a third-party service called Centurica, which are really good. They're great at this type of stuff, verifying all the income for the buyer. We just had that call yesterday, and that's all proceeding. Once we get that report back, and the seller in this case presents the 2016 tax returns, which he's been scrambling to get ready for the buyer, then we'll move into that purchase agreement stage. So the deal isn't done. We still need the buyer to verify everything and then do the purchase agreement and then enter into escrow for the rest of the portion. So from this point on, if everything lines up, so it takes 2 weeks to get to that purchase agreement stage, it could take for the actual handover. This one includes the seller central account. It's just US based, very straightforward. Could be done within 4 weeks from the signing of the purchase agreement and the deposit or the rest of the funds coming in as per the purchase agreement.
Okay, in very simple terms, about sort of 3 months to get to the point of the deal and then another month or two to pass things over. Is that about?
Yes. Yeah, so that's best case scenario.
Okay, best case, okay, so, yeah. I imagine it could drag on a lot. Got complications, yeah. Well, I'm not going to focus too much on that that selling process because I know that many of my listeners aren't necessarily in position where they're doing that immediately. But when should you be looking at selling an FBA business? And if you're not looking at it now, at what point is it viable? In other words, is it even worth bothering to try and sell it? Is anyone going to buy it? Yeah. And then, is there a point at which it's too late?
Sure, absolutely. So I love this question. I love talking through this with different people. And the answer is really up to you. But I'll give you a couple of guideposts or things to look for, milestones, if you will. So the first milestone you absolutely have to pass, in my humble opinion, is at least 12 months in business. That's the absolute bare minimum that any serious investor will look at. Some people will buy under that, but it's high risk. You typically sell for a lot lower multiple. So more than a year in business, number one. more than a year in business or more than 12 months at your desired net profit level is really important, because that cash flow number builds up, and that's the multiple that you list your business for, right? So the longer you've been making good money, the better. So if you've been doing 10K a month over the course of a year, that's a good time to start selling. If your business is growing, so if profits are growing, the trend of the business is going up, that's a really great time to sell. If things are leveling out, but not super stagnant, but they seem to just kind of be ticking along nicely, that can also be a good time to buy, to sell rather. The absolute worst time to sell is when you have multiple months of month over month decline, other than seasonality. Okay, this is a horrible time to look at selling a business. A buyer will simply look at that trend, extrapolate it out, and see how quick before it goes to zero. And that your offers will reflect that, if you get any offers at all. And oftentimes a broker won't list a business that's in serious decline.
Interesting. In some ways, some of this reminds you of buying and selling houses, which I guess for most of us is a more familiar territory, in that everyone sort of, you know, had some experience of that or is likely to. So, yeah, I think it's very interesting that a lot of people are probably wait until something is looking really bad to get rid of it. And that's actually, you know, a really bad idea. So tell us a little bit about the uptrend side of things. So if it's obviously a great time to sell in terms of getting a sale.
Yes.
If it looks like things are trending up, right?
Yeah.
What is the way to get the best price for your business if you have got a success on your hands? Because the question, it always begs the question to me, if you've got such a successful business, why are you selling it?
Yeah. So a couple of things go into this. The way I look at it is unfortunately, you'll never get the top dollar for your business. It's just never going to happen. That peak is so brief, it's just not even worth aiming for. What you do want to do is position your business so it's progressing well, so it's interesting to a buyer, but on the flip side, you get the number that you're happy with. So oftentimes when I'm talking with the seller, that we come up with a multiple or a list price range, and I say, are you happy to sell for this now, or should we build this up longer? Because I'm happy either way. I do a lot of work with people 6 and 12 months out from selling, right? I'm happy either way. I want a better business to sell too. So it's great. It's win-win. So that's the first thing, is are you happy with this figure? And when you're looking at that number, I'd take out all your closing costs, commissions, and minus 20%, just to give yourself a bit of cushion to make sure you're 100% comfortable. Anything over that will be a bonus. If you go in with that as the mindset, and that's realistic based on what the market is doing, then I think you're in for the, that's the time to sell. Interestingly, on the uptick side, one thing I'm really stressing to sellers right now is a way to differentiate your business from others is to have some newer products that have some upside potential, or have the next one or two products kind of, I know that I'm going to be selling this product next, and I'll introduce you to the supplier, or I've already vetted suppliers, I've got a sample, this is great, I'll introduce you and help you get set up on this next product. You've got no idea what that means to a buyer, especially if they're brand new to the industry. That's no other seller, not a lot of sellers are even open to that, let alone thinking two steps ahead. Because it's as an entrepreneur, you always want that return on investment of time and capital, right? But if you can hand the baton over and you've got that limit, like that number that you're happy with to go forward, you really need to put in some work to give the buyer some upside. You're never going to take all the chips off the table in this case at all. And that's not the way to sell your business. You really want that buyer to be successful. And in most cases, due to the structure of the deal, you'll be tied into the success of this business for 6 or 12 months anyway, depending on what the deal is. So you really want to set them up for success. And it goes a long way. It also builds trust, because if someone's going to help you do the next thing, get the next product out the door, it's amazing.
Great. That makes a lot of sense. And again, it's a bit like any sort of marketing. If you're going to sell a product or a service, particularly online, and if you add a load of bonuses and you add extra to what people just have the right to expect, then again, it builds goodwill and it differentiates you really strongly from everyone else who just gives the impression of just wanting to take the buck and run. So I like the exactly. thinking very much. Makes a lot of sense. Yeah. But what's interesting to me is how similar selling a business is to selling a product or a service in any other way, which I guess in your line of business is what you're used to every single day. But most of us don't buy and sell businesses on a daily or even weekly or even every 10 years. So that's very, very interesting to me how again, the basics of marketing still apply. One little thing I want to pick up on is you just said that you work with people 6 to 12 months out to help them get a more valuable business to sell. Is that something that you can extend to any listeners who are considering selling a business? How available is that?
Yeah, absolutely. So right now, it's not a formal service as such. For the most part, I talk to people. It typically starts if they're wanting a valuation. We start at that point. We set up a call if it's in the ballpark. We can also talk about steps to things to do specific to your business, planning for your exit. So yeah, I do that for the most part for free. And I really am passionate about helping people position their business for success. It makes it easier for me to sell. It'll make it more valuable for you when you're doing your exit. It works all around. The buyers are happier with a better business. It goes right through from not just positioning your business and the timing, but also setting things up. So things like systems. Do you have systems in place? There's also other service providers that we can refer you to help with those specific things, which get really good results.
Fantastic. Well, that's something that's definitely worth bearing in mind for anyone who's even considering selling a business. Then they don't necessarily have to have it ready and a beautifully packaged, tied up in a bow, but they are basically thinking they got something here. They should get in touch. Is that basically the deal?
Yeah, absolutely. For sure.
Fantastic. So I'm going to put some pretty detailed notes, because obviously this is quite a technical area and we discussed all the different valuation metrics, which might blow your brain to try and just do by listening to a podcast. So you'll find that all, folks, at amazingfba.com/Corin, C-O-R-A-N for November. But Corin, are there any other places that people can get hold of you if they want to find out more about what you do or get in touch with you if they're considering selling an FBA business?
Sure. So the first step is to put your hand up for that monthly report. It's totally free. You can see what's happening month over month. And I like putting it together. It's hard to put together, but I like seeing the result myself and seeing what's happening in the market. And the best way to get that is just to email me. It's Corin, C-O-R-A-N, at thefbabroker.com, and just put monthly report in the subject line and I'll put you on that list. I'll send you the latest one, but also put you on the distribution list for future reports. And also when you email me, if you do want to talk more about your business, add that to the email and we can start a conversation. Absolutely. So.
Fantastic. Well, Corin, thanks so much for coming on and keeping us up to date with the latest trends. It's interesting how much things have developed in that space in such a short time. So I'm sure that there will be future developments we'll have to come back to you on. But for now, many, many thanks for sharing all your great insights.
Perfect. Thanks for having me, Michael.
My pleasure. Thanks. And have fun in Vietnam.
Cheers. Thanks, mate.
Hi, this is Michael Veazey from Amazing FBA. I've got a quick one for you. If you're super stoked and awesomely excited to sell on Amazon, that's great. But if you're American, I'm afraid you need to stop listening, because this one is for the Brits only. I'm not being biased, but this is because I'm talking about something which is based in London. So you're going to need to be in Britain or near Britain to take advantage of it. The basic problem we have as internet entrepreneurs is we are lonely and isolated because we're tapping, sadly, at our tablets on our own. We're cooped up with our computers and we're going insane with the internet. We need to connect to other people. It's only a human thing, right? And relationships are the basis of all good business. So if you are in that situation, keep listening, because we have a solution called the Amazing FBA London Mastermind. But I'm going to specifically talk to you if you're in that situation, but you are yet to launch on Amazon. So you want to launch on Amazon, you haven't got there yet. This is exactly for you. It's called the Zero to Hero pre-launch mastermind. And our aim is very simple: to get you from research or importing, or even if you've got products on the way to Amazon, to launch with your first product live on Amazon. That's our goal. That's our focus. How do we achieve that? Very simple. We have a face-to-face meeting of up to 15 people, no more than that. So it's very, very focused. And you get 30 minutes minimum to talk about your business and focus on the single issue that's blocking you that month to move you forward. The other way we keep you accountable is that we have a video accountability call once a month as well, which it goes in between the physical meetups so that we keep that momentum going, because momentum's everything, guys. As you know, on your own, you just lose the dream and you fall into slowness, and then the business just dies from neglect. So we do the opposite. We keep it moving. We keep each other motivated. We inspire, and we tell the truth about what doesn't work so other people can learn from it. We also have a couple of other things. I give an exclusive newsletter available only to members of the mastermind, where I share the latest tips, techniques, and tricks, and bigger strategies that I'm trying on my Amazon businesses, and tell you what works and frankly what doesn't work as well, so you can learn from my mistakes. And of course, there's an exclusive Facebook group to share all this good stuff with each other in between the meetings and the accountability calls. So there's a ton on offer here. It's obviously going to be very limited because it's maximum 15 people anyway, but for the first 5 people who come on board, there will be a special deal and a very special price for life. But that's obviously only for the first 5 people who come on board. So if you want to check it out, just go to amazingfba.com/London Mastermind, and you can find out there more about it. You can apply there as well if you want to. And if you move fast, you might even be one of the lucky first 5 people to take advantage of it as well. So that's amazingfba.com/London Mastermind. I'm going to put this video out to everyone on my podcast and everyone in the Facebook group, of which we've got nearly 900 members now, and on the YouTube channel. So I imagine that this will fill quite quickly. So if you're serious about it, get yourself over to amazingfba.com/London Mastermind, and you can find. Thanks for listening.